When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. And now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
The peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we're here to talk about the New Age movement. And today I want to start off with a reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, because we're going to talk about an area of the New Age movement's belief that is particularly at risk for us and particularly deceptive. So let's see what Jesus has to say about who he is and about other Christs, because we're going to see that the New Agers believe in many Christs. Let's first see what Jesus says. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 23, he says, "If anyone tells you at that time, 'Look, the Messiah is here,' or 'He is there,' do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will appear, performing signs and wonders so great as to mislead even the chosen, if that were possible. Remember, I have told you all about it beforehand. So if they tell you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out there. Or, 'He's in the innermost rooms,' do not believe it. As the lightning from the east flashes to the west, so will this coming of the Son of Man be." Now, Christ is warning us that he is going to come, but he's not going to be a Messiah that will appear again in the desert or in some inner room or in some cult or anything like that at all. And he warned us of it for very good reason. A lot of people have tried to say that he is coming in one of these other places. Jesus is here, there, and other places, according to lots and lots of false prophets and false Christs. And at all costs, we have to avoid following them. Our own soul depends upon it. Now, where do we see the New Agers start to talk about, you know, who Christ is and what the Christ means? It's throughout the literature. And for them, they understand Christ to refer not to Jesus only, though they do believe that he is Christ. They definitely accept that. But they believe that Christ means a state of consciousness. The state of consciousness we've talked about in past episodes, where you are enlightened, you are aware that you are God, you are at one with the universe, you feel that you're part of everything, that you have different techniques and psychotechnologies so that you don't experience the limits anymore of your own personality, but you feel at one with everything and you feel like you are God and you have an intuition of it. And they said Jesus had this intuition. And if you do what they say in the New Age, then you can have it too. Now that's very seductive. But isn't that exactly what the serpent had said to Eve? Did God really say you shouldn't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? That's a way to say that, you know, shouldn't you have this knowledge? And she said, no, we can eat in every tree except that tree. And the serpent said, no, look, God didn't want you to do that because he knows that your eyes would be open and you would become gods. But see, that's exactly what the New Age wants us to believe, is that we can become gods. And so they write a lot about it. Now let's take a look at some of the things that they say about Christ and start to detect the falsehood so that we don't get caught up in it. The granddaddy of a lot of the research, or of the New Age writing about this, is Edgar Cayce. Now, Edgar Cayce predates the New Age movement by 30 years. He died in 1945. But His writings are very popular. I counted in one bookstore 50 different titles of Edgar Cayce's books. And he got all of his information through trance channeling. He'd go into a trance, and a spirit, a group of spirits, would come and speak to him. Now, I do not recommend reading Cayce. As a matter of fact, you know, he's to be avoided. He is not telling us about the real Jesus. He's telling us about a false Jesus and a false Christ. And we have to look at the real Jesus of the Gospels as our source for all the truth about Christ. That's essential and true spirituality for Christians. But Edgar Cayce makes all this stuff up and would have us believe it. One of the things that Edgar Cayce says about Jesus, his false Christ, is that Jesus entered again and again, and he was reincarnated many times. He says in his book, A Story of Jesus, which actually Cayce didn't write, but it's a collection from all his writings about Jesus. And later disciples pulled these together. And Edgar Cayce says that Jesus had 30 different incarnations in order to become the Christ, and that Jesus had to have these incarnations to become the Master. Now, that's just false. We don't see the New Testament ever talk about Jesus being reincarnated. That's not the truth at all. But he says that Jesus had been Jeshua the scribe, someone mentioned in the later part of the Bible. Also Joshua, the mouthpiece of Moses. He's also Joseph. He was also Zend, the father of Zoroaster. Zoroaster was a Persian who started a religion now called Zoroastrianism. He also was Melchizedek, the priest of Salem, and Enoch, and Asaphar, and Apha, and Adam. That he's all these different incarnations. And Edgar Cayce repeats that falsehood many, many times, that Jesus had to go through this. Why did he do that? Why did Edgar Cayce believe in reincarnation of Jesus? The reason is that he thought that human beings have to evolve their consciousness. Actually, it was not Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce, in his waking life, believed in Christ and believed in Christianity. But when he went into these trances, these other spirits told him this stuff, and then Edgar Cayce started to believe these false spirits. They were deceiving him and everybody who listened to him and wrote these books. And that they tried to get them to believe, the spirits tried to get Cayce and others to believe, that Christ is a consciousness that you grow in and develop in, and that you have to acquire over many lifetimes because life is too short to become perfect. Well, see, there's the beginning of the deception. They're right in one sense. Life is too short to become perfect for you and for me. But for Jesus Christ, that's not the case, because he never had to become perfect. He was perfect from all eternity. What we see in the New Testament is that Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. He is the Word who is God. From the very beginning of time, from before the beginning of time, he is God. And therefore, he didn't have to grow in perfection. He always was perfect. And he was always sinless and never committed anything wrong. And so we don't have to believe that Jesus had reincarnations. That's a false Christ. And we have to say no to that, absolutely. Well, there's some other false views of Christ that we're going to look at. So come back so we can look at them and also look at what the true Christ of Scripture is about. Various views of Christ according to different New Age people and different technologies and psychotechnologies that are used in the New Age. And we've seen that one of the most basic understandings of Christ according to New Agers is that Christ means a state of consciousness or a state of mind. Now, that's not what we mean. That's not what Christianity means. That's not what Jesus said. And they're giving a false understanding of it. What is the nature of some of this falsehood? Let's take a look at Jose Silva. Now, Jose Silva started a psychotechnology back in the 40s, way before the New Age started, called Silva Mind Control. We mentioned in an earlier episode that the brain has different levels of waves, and that seems to be true. And that the brain waves have different heights and lengths, and that some brain waves are slower and go at a lower level. Well, what Jose Silva wants to do is get you to control some of your brain waves, and as I understand, maybe not just control them, but get into these brain waves so that you feel a certain amount of peace and can have control over your mind and find the kingdom of God within you. Now, what does he mean by that? Not what Jesus meant, but he means that you find the kingdom of God within these brain waves, and that you can use this as a way to control yourself and, at times, even other people. And he used to, as I understand it, according to some who studied this method, would try to give you a guarantee that you could do miracles of some sort or other. I've not made this, but this technology or this workshop called Silver Mind Control, it's rather expensive, for one thing, and a lot of people that, as a matter of fact, everybody I know who has gotten into it has found this spiritual life really messed up. And so this is a psychotechnology that's being used by a number of people in the New Age, so it started long before the New Age movement, and it's definitely to be avoided. That the idea that you can try to control other people and control your own brain waves, you know, is something that is, I find, rather dangerous. You know, the idea that you can have some say-so in what other people are going to do or react is something that is absurd. So we have to avoid this at all costs. But we see not only that he has a psychotechnology that's rather dangerous, but we see that he teaches a lot of false things about Jesus Christ. Let's see where it starts. In the beginning is the way he looks at Scripture. He says, my rule of thumb on the interpretation of the Scriptures is that the interpretation that offers the most information for problem solving is not only the best, but is also the real and most truthful. In other words, whatever helps you solve your problems and gets you to do something and do it better, that's the true interpretation. Truth and reality, as I see them, are information when applied, solves problems. So truth and reality is what it helps you to solve your problems. Now, this is a very pragmatic approach towards the understanding of truth and reality, and therefore an understanding of Scripture that's very pragmatic. What helps me is true, according to Jose Silva. Do you see how far that is from Scripture? What does Jesus Christ say? In John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and the life. Well, he says in another place, I am the light of the world. That the truth is not what helps you accomplish a problem or solve a problem, but the truth is the person of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Now, our norm for interpreting Scripture has to be Christ. What does Christ, the Word of God, speak through Scriptures? And that's just what helps me solve a problem. We don't take on Scriptures in this pragmatic kind of way. Also, Jose Silva says many other things about Christ. First of all, he says that I believe that Rabbi Jesus is a highly evolved son of God, was assigned to this planet to correct this error in human development that people do not use their full brain power. In other words, he understands that Jesus is a highly evolved person. Again, assuming a belief in reincarnation. He doesn't say the word reincarnation, but how else would Christ evolve? And that he evolves and comes here to teach us that we have to use our full brain power. Now, that is not in the Bible. Jesus never said, I came here to teach you to use your brain power. When he said that the kingdom of God is within you, the Greek actually says the kingdom of God is among you people. That's what it's talking about, it's been among us. Another aspect of this is that the kingdom of God means that God is our king. That's what Jesus came preaching. He preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Not that it's inside of your brain waves, or that it means control of your brain waves, but the kingdom of God within or among you means that God is the one who gives direction to your life. Jesus will send you the Holy Spirit so that you can obey God and do what God asks of you. You can obey God's commandments. And you can follow the vocation that God gives to you and go and take the risks God asks you to take to help save people. Now that's what the kingdom of God means in Scripture, not using the full brain power. Jose Silva also says, and again I'm quoting from his book on the mystery of the keys of the kingdom, that we have misunderstood the message of Jesus since his crucifixion. Instead of learning his method for finding the kingdom within, the alpha wave level of thinking, we mistakenly look forward to his second coming and ask him to forgive our sins. Do you see what he's done? By Jose Silva focusing on getting the power of the alpha waves in our brain and seeing that as the kingdom of God, he says that it's a mistake to look for the second coming of Jesus and a mistake to look to him for the forgiveness of sins. But isn't that what Jesus himself taught? Jesus says that he's coming again. You look again at Mark chapter 13, Matthew chapters 24 and 25, and other passages about the kingdom of God, that Jesus is going to come again at the end of the world to be our judge. Until then, we are to come to him to have ourselves washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and have our sins washed away by the blood he shed on Calvary. That the forgiveness of sins is the essence of his ministry. That's why he says in his first sermon, repent, change, turn around from your sins. Instead, Jose Silva says, Rabbi Jesus is not coming back, so we should use his keys to the inner kingdom. That's blatantly against what Jesus taught. Jesus said he is coming back, and that the keys of the kingdom are not given to all of us. The keys of the kingdom were given to St. Peter. That is to let us into heaven. And that Peter is the rock on which Jesus built the church and to whom Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom, not to all of us. That is simply false teaching. And we must not follow Jose Silva, nor should we follow Edgar Cayce. We're going to take a look in a few minutes at some of the other false teachings about the Christ consciousness from the New Age movement. So please stay with us. Welcome back. We're taking a look at the views of false Christs that we find among New Age teachers. We've taken a look at Edgar Cayce and Jose Silva. Now let's take a look at another person who does trance channeling. That is Ruth Montgomery. Ruth Montgomery began this after attending some spiritistic churches and camp meetings and trying to see if it's true or not. She started off just by being curious. Well, this kind of curiosity is the kind that would kill the cats. And it's something to be avoided. You don't just go running into this to become curious about the spirits. Well, she did. And after a while, she started learning to meditate. And from the meditation, she started to channel spirits called Lily and a group of other spirits. Now, what does she learn from the spirits about Jesus Christ? Let's take a look. I quote from Ruth Montgomery, who says in a book called The World Before, that my mysterious pen pals, that is, her spirit guides, agree with Edgar Cayce that Amelius returned as Adam and Eve, and that both were to come again several million years later as Jesus and Mary. Now, this is one of the influences that we see from Edgar Cayce, how when people read this stuff, it begins to influence them at least subconsciously. That Ruth Montgomery had read a lot of Edgar Cayce's works and studied under Edgar Cayce's son, Hugh Lynn Cayce, at their Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And she started doing this trance channeling after that. Well, the influence of reading that material came on her own image of Christ, that Jesus is a reincarnation of Adam, who is a reincarnation of Amelius. Amelius, by the way, is Edgar Cayce's name for the person who was the first man on the planet, continent of Atlantis. The Edgar Cayce and Ruth Montgomery believed in Atlantis. And we're going to talk about Atlantis later on because it's a common New Age belief and has all sorts of problems with it. But that Jesus had to be incarnated, and so did Mary. That has nothing to do with our faith, as we already talked about with Cayce. But I at least want to point out how this idea reappears. Now, what other things does she say that Cayce doesn't? Well, let's take a look. She says, also in the book The World Before, "Thus Lucifer became a foremost spirit, as did the Christ, who because of his special devotion was nearest and dearest to the Creator. Lucifer resented this closeness, as Judas was later to do with the disciples." Now, think of the implications of that. As I read what Montgomery is saying, it says that Lucifer and Christ were on an equal level, and both of them were close to the Creator, to God the Creator. But Jesus, Christ was a little bit closer, so Lucifer got jealous. Now, this idea is very close to the idea of the Mormons. The Mormons believe that Christ and Lucifer were both trying to help the Creator, God the Creator, whoever he was, according to the Mormons, on a planet called Kolob, and that Christ and Lucifer had a big war as a result, and his enmity continues here on Earth. And as a matter of fact, according to the Mormons, their earlier writings, that the followers of Christ are reincarnated from the planet Kolob here on Earth. And if the followers of Christ are reincarnated as white people, while the followers of Satan are reincarnated as black people, and the people who didn't make up their mind are reincarnated as brown people. And according to one friend of mine who's read a lot of Mormon literature, a brown person who becomes a Mormon can also be turned into white. Well, that's craziness. It's just stupid. It has nothing to do with the Bible. The Bible says nothing about the Mormon idea, nor Ruth Montgomery's idea. But false spirits have instructed Montgomery or Joseph Smith in these ideas that are against what Scripture says. Jesus is God, the Word made flesh, not a spirit who is reincarnated. Also, another idea that's somewhat related to Montgomery's notion about Christ, she says, also in the book World Before, is that the Archangel Michael, one of the reigning princes under the Creator, is the brother of the Christ. Yet we emphasize that all of us are brothers and fellow creations of God. Now listen to what she's saying there, that Archangel Michael is not one of the great angels who has God's power, who has the power to thrust into hell by the divine power, Satan and all the other evil spirits, as we say in the prayer to St. Michael, or as we see in the book of Revelation when Michael fights against Satan and all the evil spirits. Rather, Michael is a brother of one other spirit who is Christ, and we're all brothers. Do you see how the pantheism creeps in here? That we're all spirits, we're all gods, Jesus is God, I'm God, you're God. That's the New Age idea. That's not at all what Christianity is about. That instead, Jesus is the one true Son of God. You and I are children of God by adoption. That's what we see in the letter of St. Paul to the Romans and also in Galatians. We have been adopted as God's children. Now, that's different than Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God by his nature. Because Jesus Christ is God from all eternity. And by his very nature, he is the same nature as the Father. And he's one with the Father. You and I are adopted to belong to God's family. And we can receive the inheritance Jesus won for us by one day eventually being resurrected from the dead. Not by being reincarnated many times. That you and I are going to be brought back from the dead, but it's this body. Pacwa. And whoever you are, Jane, Joe, John, all of us are going to be reincarnated. God loves you, and he loves me. And he wants you to come back as you, not as some other character, not as a woman, not as some spirit, not as a man. Just, if you're born a woman, God wants you to be the woman you're born. If you're born a man, God wants you to be the man you're born for all eternity. And he doesn't need Jesus to be reborn again and again. You and I will all share in the resurrection from the dead. This body itself will be glorified, not resurrected. Now, that's the promise that God gives to us, and the promise that we're being asked to accept. You don't need to attain the Christ consciousness, but rather to repent of sin, to turn to Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you and give you the grace of forgiveness, and allow Him to give you a new birth by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the power of the water of baptism. And that power will wash away our sins, and confession will wash away our sins. And we don't have to come back again and again. We don't have to go through adolescence over and over again. But rather, Jesus Christ will come and say, "Rise up from the dead and come join me. Sit with me with my Father in our heavenly home and share this great feast of heaven with me because I love you." God bless you, and we'll see you again.